30 minutes or so, we'll go quickly to the word, and then when we come back, we will continue. Amen. We're trying to squeeze in as much as possible. Amen. So I'm going to divide this board into two. So on top we'll have the Old Testament, and then beneath we'll have the New Testament. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, yesterday we were saying that there are two covenants. The old covenant and the new covenant. Amen.
Amen.
In the old covenant there were three major principles. There are three major foundations. The first foundation is the foundation of the priesthood. And that priesthood was the priesthood of Aaron. Aaron was the priest. Aaron could not just function in space, he had to function in a temple. So, the second principle is that there must be a temple. And then we were given the tabernacle of Moses as a pattern. Now, this tabernacle of Moses was manifested in two temples that were built in Israel. You have the Temple of Solomon, and the Babylonians came and destroyed this temple. And for those who know book, in 586 BC, go to your internet, put in that you will see the pictures of that temple. So it was history, something that happened. So it is real, not just story. Now that temple was restored, and there were three stages of restoring that temple. First of all, someone went and laid the foundation of that temple. Somebody else went, built the walls, and they began to actually build the temple. So Nehemiah went back, and so people began to worship in, it was a makeshift temple. And when they built it, somebody said, this temple cannot be compared with the old. Amen.
Amen.
Then another man called Herod. He took 46 years to renovate this temple that, you know, they have been trying to build all through the age, all through time. Amen.
Amen.
And eventually, this temple, this one that Herod built, was finally destroyed by the Romans. In AD 70. So when you go to Jerusalem, you will just see, I went there, they took me to the temple site. You will see just a little stump, just the part of the wall of that temple. So the temple has been leveled. Is that the end of the story? Amen. It is the end of that story. Amen. So everything concerning the Old Testament regarding temple has been leveled. There is nothing like that. Amen. And Jesus said, I'm going to tell you another temple. In fact, what the Bible calls the third temple. Amen.
Amen.
The third, 1, 2, 3. The third temple. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when you have the priesthood, and you have the temple, there is a third principle that must be there. What is that principle? There must be what? There must be a covenant. There must be a covenant. So these are the three principles upon which everything God did in the old covenant before Jesus came, they were based on this principle.
Amen.
And in this temple, we know that there were three parts. There was the reception, which you call the outer court. There was a place of preparation, which you call the holy place. This holy place was a temporary place, and it was just there to prepare the bride. Then you have the real temple, the most holy place, which is the bedroom, which is the place where the bride and the bridegroom come together. Now the Bible says that on the day of atonement, everybody in the outer court, everybody in the holy place must move out. Amen. You hear what I said? On the day of atonement, everybody in the outer court, in the holy place, must move out, because the high priest will be moving in. When the high priest moves in, the veil will be broken, and nobody is allowed to see what's inside. Amen. So, on the day of atonement, there are two movements. Why some people are moving back, others are moving in. So where are you today? Are you among those who are moving out? Or are you among those who are moving in?
Amen.
Now, those who are moving in, it is the high priest company. The only way you can go in is to go in the high priest. Okay, so let's come to the New Testament. In the New Testament, who is the priest? So who is the priest in the New Testament? Who is the temple? Or where is the temple? And what is the covenant? Yes? So which one are we going to answer first? Let's start from the easiest. Okay, which one is the easiest? Which one is the easiest?
Let's start from
one. You want to start from number one? Amen. You people that are here, what are you doing? Who is the priest here among you? The sister said, he has made us kings and priests. Okay, you want to start from number one. Okay, so he has made us kings and priests. Who is us? Okay, those who are washed in the blood. Okay, so look at me now. I'm here now. So which part of me is the priest? I'm washed in the blood. Which part of me? People should talk now. You know, when this man was shouting, you all kept quiet. Now, my own is not shouting. My own is me and you. We will talk. So talk. So, who is the priest now? Okay, when you look at me, how many people are here now? How many people are here? Okay, they say three people are here. Okay, out of the three people, who is the priest? All of them are the priest. Or one of them. Okay, one of them is the priest. Who is the one of them? Okay, and that's the same spirit. Which other one? So you have soul, you have spirit. Which other one now? How about my body? Is my body part of the priest? Okay. So I can carry my body and go to disco. I think we can go to disco. But my body is not part of the priesthood now. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, so priest, the priest is Christ. Okay, the priest is Christ. Is that correct? The priest is Christ. Amen. Okay.
The question I'm asking is, now in the Old Testament, Aaron stood in for the high priest. Are you talking about the high priest here or the priest? That's what we want to know.
Good. Okay. You have gone ahead. So we will come. We will meet you there. Amen. That was the next thing I was going to say. Now, what is Christ? What does Christ mean? The anointed. Okay, let me ask you. He is anointed to do what? To save from what? What is sin? What is the mark that God has given? And what is the truth and righteousness? So you see this is the problem in the church. And that's what Brother Ajay was talking about. That we don't have one focus. Everything that we are saying is correct. Everything that we are saying is, they are all correct. But you see, you need to bring it together. So that even if you are sleeping or you are waking, it's very clear in your mind what you are
doing.
So you say Christ is the anointed. Yes, he's the anointed. But there is a reason. There is a purpose. And the the focus of everything is what? Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. So the question is, who is us?
And
how many people believe that word Emmanuel, that is God in us? No, you don't believe. If you believe, this year will change. And now, let me show you why. Now, when you say us, you mean the body. You mean the soul. And you mean the spirit. So you are saying God must come into your soul, must come into your spirit, and must come into your body. Is that correct? Okay. Who is God? The Bible says God is a spirit. So that means the spirit, the soul, the body must change. Amen. Now, the Bible says that God is Him that filleth all in all. So, God, when God comes to me, He must fill me. Amen.
Amen.
So when you say God in us, you are saying God is coming to take over. You are saying mortality is going to be swallowed up by immortality. And you are saying that your emotions must change. You are saying your desires must change. That means your appetite. That means your mind, the way my mind works, is going to change. So he says, Emmanuel means God in us. So Christ means the company of people in whom the fullness of God has been tabernacled in. That is Christ. Now, God is coming to you, but there is no vacancy in you. Amen. Amen now.
Amen.
God is coming to a house that is already occupied. Hallelujah. So He's coming, and there is, you have somebody else in the house that He is coming to. So let's come back to our board. So, in the New Testament, Christ is the priest. And then Christ has two parts. So that's the question my brother was asking. Jesus is the head of Christ.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And who is Jesus?
Jesus.
Pilate told us who Jesus is.
Pilate,
there is a man standing in front of me. I find no fault in him. Amen. So Jesus was a human being, a human vessel, in whom the Spirit of God filled completely. The Bible says, in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I don't know if you heard what I said. Now, the devil tells you it's not possible for God to dwell in you. And you see, many of us, we have not seen the reality of God. God is somewhere in the sky, far, 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 far. That is not the doctrine of Christ. He said he's a present help in trouble. God wants to be with you. You are a student. God wants to be with you there as a student. Amen. He said, I shall dwell in them. I shall walk in them. I shall be with them. They shall be my people and I will be their God. If you say you have God as your God, is he with you? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the days of theory are over. We are coming into a time when we will have to demonstrate our godness. According to God's word, God must dwell in men. Men, human beings are God's house. I am God's house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And to show us the example practically, so that we will not be looking around and asking, what is this? Jesus said, I have been with you, have you not known the Father? So he came to show us how it is that a man can be the house of God. So Jesus came physically. And God came in Jesus Christ. And dwelt amongst us. The Bible said that we beheld his glory. Hallelujah. Say, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Say, that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. There's only one fact that the devil will not agree. Jesus did not come. There is no man called Jesus. He's doing everything possible to destroy it. He's writing, changing the history book, changing everything. So no, don't mind him. There is no man like that. It's a story. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is a pattern son.
Jesus.
Amen. Now, when you say you are a Christian, what you are saying is that as God dwelt in Jesus, he will also dwell in me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is what you are saying. And the Bible tells us that time in which this will become a reality is now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you have Jesus and you have the body. So in the New Testament, as the sister was saying, and as Peter was also saying, he says, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when we come into fellowship, do we practice it? I'm asking us, do we practice that? So let me go to their fellowship and see what they're saying. So when you come, you'll come as a spectator. The husbands are not priests in their homes. Then when we come as individuals, we do not come as priests. Let me ask you, when did you last bring an offering to God? A priest must have an offering to give. So I'm asking you, when did you bring an offering to God last? What does it mean to bring an offering to God? Hallelujah. And this is why many of us are failing, because we do not understand what we are doing. You have been called to be a priest. I have been called to bring a priest. Every priest must have gifts and offerings to give. Hallelujah. When I'm bringing my offering, I'm giving it to God. I'm not giving it to anybody. I'm not doing it so that somebody will say, okay, look, I'm bringing my offering. No. Is that how we fellowship? Do we bring our offerings and give it to God? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we find that in the New Testament, we say one thing and do the other. So when you are coming, you say, you are hoping on one particular brother to bring your word. And the Bible says, three times will they appear before me, and they will not appear before me empty. Now, let's come to the second principle. Who is the temple in the New Testament? 88 Ikot Emene Road is the temple. Why not? This is the temple of Ikot Emene. The holy temple. This is the Holy of Holies. This is inside that place. This is the altar. This is the altar. Why don't you have flower here?
So,
then you put cross. Ah, this is the altar. And then this is the holy temple in the Lord. Okay, you say this is not the altar, and this is not the temple. Okay, who is the altar now? Who is the temple? Do you live your life as the temple of God? Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So who is this altar? Who is this temple? Now, if I am the temple, according to what you people have said, though, you say I am the temple. Then which part of me is the temple? Is it my spirit? Is it my soul? Or is it my body that is the temple? If your soul is the temple, some young men here have gone to tell some young women in this room, I love you, when you don't mean it. What you have done is that you have defiled the temple of God. Is that correct? When you bear malice, you say, see one brother, I won't talk to him. What it means is that you have defiled the temple of God. If you defy your mind, that means you have defiled the temple of God. Now, if you know that you are the temple of God, then you are going to keep this temple holy. Because when you enter through that door, I have entered the temple of God. Hello, how are you? God bless you. But in this temple, anything can happen in this temple. Even by 1 a.m., you are eating a bar. by 1 a.m. in this time. You eat all kinds of food. Because this is not the temple of God. You wear any kind of cloth because this is not the temple of God. You can think any kind of thought because this is not the temple of God. When I get to 88 Court of Benin Road, I will be holy.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it so? Is that not how we practice? Answer me now. Is that not how we practice? Okay. That is how I practice. That is how. Because when I'm going to fellowship, everything in my mind, I make sure I keep it clean. Then after fellowship, when I'm in my house, I said, that brother, I don't like him. When he didn't greet me very well. Hallelujah. Let us not deceive ourselves. Hallelujah. What is happening is that we are Old Testament people living in the New Testament. What is in our mind is Old Testament. But we are living in the time of the New. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there was a man like that, Isaiah. He was living in the Old. But he saw into the New. Hallelujah. There was another man called David. He was living in the Old. He saw into the New. But we have reversed it. We are living in the New, but our pattern is the Old Testament. We are following rules and regulations. Amen. So the temple is me. I am the temple of the living God. And if I'm the temple of the living God, then I'm a candidate for change.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, let's take it, let's move it forward more. I know some people, they say, this brother, we thought he'd be telling us heavy revelation. Sorry, I don't have heavy revelation to tell you. I only have small stories to tell you. Amen. Okay, let's move it forward. Now, this temple that was in the Old Testament, how did they make that temple? God told Moses, just go down the street. Any wood you see, bring it. And when you bring it, you start using it immediately. Is that what they did?
No.
He had to bring the temple.
The wood,
and he had to build it. And they had to dedicate it. And then they had to anoint it. And when they did that, it was pronounced holy.
Amen.
Okay, let's come to me now. I'm the temple of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do I need to be dedicated? Do I need to be separated? Do I need to be anointed?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, the soul must be anointed. The spirit must be anointed. The body must also be anointed. Amen.
Amen.
Now, how did they anoint the Old Testament? If you go to Leviticus chapter 8, it tells you how they did it. They brought blood, and then they brought the oil.
Amen.
Amen. So that's why in the tabernacle, the first place you must go to is where? You must come to the place of blood. Amen. Some of the things that Brother Isaac was talking of, the border on that. You must come to the blood covenant. Now, the blood must be applied. The blood must be applied to you. Just put this up. Put this up. Now, the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, when they bring the blood of bulls and goats, even in your village, and that's why when you want to do traditional marriage, there must be blood. Why did you think there must be blood when they do traditional marriage? It's a blood covenant. It's a blood covenant. So there are two blood covenants. The blood of Jesus. And the one they want to do in your village. You choose one. You already have the one of Jesus. If you make another blood covenant, you nullify the first one. Amen. And that's why they have spirits that they sent to you to torment you, so that to force you to do the second blood covenant. If you don't do the traditional marriage, you will go mad. Because they have certain spirits. They have certain sorcerers that are there to enforce their covenant. But power pass power. But blood pass blood. And covenant pass covenant. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Many of us, we don't know. So if you say you're a young man, you want to marry. Marriage is not just physical relationship. Young men in this room. Marriage is not physical relationship. Particularly if you say you don't want to do traditional marriage. Your leg must be strong on the ground. Your leg must be strong on the ground. Sister, are you hearing me? You must understand where you stand. Somebody say, I know whom I have believed. Do you know who you have believed? Hallelujah. If God be God, follow him. If you are not ready, just go. Say, brethren, I came here by mistake. I have seen that I know fit and I can't. So please excuse me to go. I'm sure this brother will be very happy to pray for you. We will release you. Amen. But if you follow them, you say you don't want to do this, you want to. it is blood covenant. Hallelujah. If you know whom you have believed, you will know that the blood of Jesus was shed from the foundation of the world. Amen. That it is a bigger ancestral spirit than that one in your village. Hallelujah. It is older. It is stronger. It is deeper. It is higher. It is wider. It is everything that you know. Hallelujah. I love to say, if God be for you, who can be against you? What do you mean? That what spirit can they release against you? It is dangerous to release a spirit. Because when you release the spirit must bring blood. So your own strength must be stronger than that of the spirit. So when the spirit comes and meets you and you have light, he's going to run away.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. That midnight, there was a spirit of death walking around. Don't you understand? He said that when I see the blood, I will run away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when those spirits came and saw the blood on the lintel, they ran away. If you have a blood covenant, and you know that you are the temple of God, hallelujah. And God says, anyone that destroys my temple or defiles my temple, I will destroy him. It's not my business. I don't go and say, God, destroy them. No, I won't do that. Not my business. I am the temple of Jehovah. Any man that tries to touch me is touching fire. In fact, I will be praying and say, God, have mercy. So when Pharaoh said, Moses, you will not see me again, the man started crying. Moses started crying for Pharaoh. He said, oh my God. Because the man brought judgment upon himself. So if a witch doctor in your village says he wants to come against you, his own is finished. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus told Paul, why
Amen.
Do you kick against the pricks? Why persecutest thou me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the problem is that we are not very sure that we are God's people. That's the problem. We don't really know what we believe. We believe in the Old Testament. And we say we are New Testament people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the New Testament, that we are the temple. And this temple must be dedicated by blood. And that blood is the blood of Jesus. It's not the blood of a bull or goat. It is the life of God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And not just the blood, they bring the oil, they will touch it upon the blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you have the blood, you have the spirit. So we are a walking temple. I am a walking, living, talking temple. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
The Most High does not dwell in temples. Amen. I have chosen Zion as my dwelling place. He said, I have created Zion a people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Zion are the people of God. And he said, we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Amen.
Amen.
I have to close because my time has run out. Of course, you know about the covenant, that we have a new covenant. Let me just tell you something about this covenant. The difference between the old and the new is just one point. The old was a letter. But the new is a covenant of revelation.
That's
true. And it is a personal revelation of Christ within you. I don't know if you understand. He said that no man will say to his brother, know the Lord. Because they shall all know me. Do you know the Lord? Nobody can share his oil with you. Do you know the Lord? Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you go to God, he will reveal himself to you. He said the revelation of Jesus Christ, which he gave to him, to show to his servant. The end time movement is under judgment. Because what we believe is not what our children believe. You didn't hear that. Let me say it again. I'm under judgment. Not you. Because what I know, my children do not know it. Because I have been eating granite. I think that the best I can do for them is to give them education. God has knocked me on the head. I say, God, I'm sorry. Amen.
Amen.
So, I say, all of you, you must now line up. This is the boundary.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
If you do so and so, I'll move you from Facebook. I bought the computer. These are the rules for Facebook. Amen.
Amen.
If you misbehave, you're out of Facebook. Do you agree?
Amen.
If you don't agree, we'll cancel it.
Amen.
So we see that we have not, our children are not following us. The thing has not even reached first generation, to talk of third and fourth generation. He says the faith that was in thy grandmother, Lois. Don't you understand? Timothy. The mother and the mother. We have not even gone to one. The thing is so useful. It's to show you that our righteousness is so shallow. Because we ourselves don't have that personal revelation.
Amen.
Amen. The new covenant is a covenant of personal revelation of God. No man will say to you, know the Lord. Because you know the Lord for yourself. Do our children know God for themselves? Our children know CNN. They know Cartoon Network. I see them. We are dressing them like a movie stars. Say, Junior. Don't mind Junior. Junior has gone as toy. He's a junior. You buy God for him. Then when he joins cult in the university, then you come here and start crying and disturbing everybody. Hallelujah. The new covenant is a covenant of revelation. The revelation of Christ to you. He said, I will put my law in the inward part. And that is the anointing of the soul. Okay, I'm going to end just with a thought. Now, when Jesus came on the earth, because Jesus is our pattern, the Bible says that he said, I lay down my life and I'm able to take it up. So that means that the fullness of God was in his spirit and in his soul. That fullness was not in his body yet. But when he went to the cross, the fullness of God went from his soul into his body. And he resurrected. Amen. Now, we are that temple, is it not so? When you get born again, you receive the blood of Jesus into your soul, into the soul. So you have a blood covenant with God. Over everybody here who is genuinely born again, there is a covering of the light of God. And the devil cannot touch you. Unless God gives him permission. Amen. That light is there all the time. Amen. But it's not enough. Your spirit must have the fullness of God in it. Your soul must have the fullness of God in it. And your body must have the fullness of God in it. So there are three levels of resurrection. Because there are three levels of death that came to man. So when you are born again, you begin the journey.
Yeah.
When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the fullness of God now comes to your spirit. And the Bible calls it the deposit of the Spirit. It is a first fruit. But the real revelation, the real presence of God must be in the soul. And right now, that is what God wants to do in the church. The fullness of God is about to go from the spirit into the soul. Now, when I say soul, it's very distant. God is coming to your emotion. So your emotion must change. God is coming to your desires. Your desire must change. God is coming into my mind. My mind must change. God is coming into my will. My will must change. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that as we have borne the image of the earth. Do you understand?
Amen.
As we have borne the image of the first Adam, we must also, in this body, bear the image of the Lord. That is when the New Testament will actually begin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When the fullness of God comes into your soul, into your mind, the body will follow the mind.
Yes.
The body will follow the soul. Anywhere the soul goes, the body will go with it. Right now, our minds are so low. That is why we are so weak in the things of God. Because our minds are so carnal. Our head is still in the dungeon of Pharaoh's house. Hallelujah. The church is a candidate for change. It says, we are they that follow him whithersoever he goes. Which way did he go? He had the fullness of God in his spirit. He had the fullness of God in his soul. And he had the fullness of God in his body. Hallelujah. So when he was here walking around us, his body was still subject to death. Don't you understand? So that nobody will have an excuse. My body is about to change. Hallelujah. He said that we shall be clothed upon by our house from heaven. Now what we are saying, we're not just saying, that's why I've tried not to make it look theoretical. I am telling you of reality. God is coming to me. I don't know about you. There is a breaking news. Behold, the tabernacle of God is in heaven. I don't know if you understand it. A big man is coming to my house. An excellency is coming to my house. Hallelujah! One time, Prince Charles came to my village. Everywhere, they were sweeping everywhere, cutting grass, doing everything. I have news for you. The mighty God. The mighty God. The priest of priests. Hallelujah. He's coming to you. Are you getting your house ready? Hallelujah. That's the breaking news in the church. We shall not all sleep.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We shall not all sleep.
Amen.
But we are changed. We want to change. We are about to be changed.
Amen.
We are being changed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The messenger of the covenant is about to come to his house.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, hallelujah. Any man who has that hope.
Hallelujah.
You know, when my wife was pregnant, I had four. Amen. So I know what it is. Okay, so so when my wife was pregnant, and I said I had four of them. And as a medical student, I delivered many women also in the hospital. A pregnant woman does not go everywhere. She doesn't do anyhow. Hallelujah. God is bringing a restriction on us. Hallelujah. Because something is about to happen to me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I cannot go anywhere.
That's true.
I cannot watch any program on TV.
Amen.
There are things I will do and others I will not. Other people can do it, but me, I cannot. And I'm not grumbling, I'm happy about it. Hallelujah. Because I know I'm special. Because the King is coming to my house. Hallelujah. Brethren, the days ahead of us are great days. If you are planning to backslide, please cancel it. If you are getting tired, let the weak say, I am strong. If you have a quarrel with me, please come and settle. In fact, I will kneel down for you and beg you, forgive me. Amen. If you have any problem, just come. In fact, before you even talk, I will beg you. I'll lie down for you. I will say, is that enough? You want me to run? I will run for you. Hallelujah. Because what is ahead? Don't mess around all these distractions. Amen. There is something ahead for us. That we are going to be part of that covenant. Amen. They are waving hands at me since. Okay, so let me stop now. Amen. So we are going to go on break now. Amen. And I believe that when we come, we're going to build on it. Amen. We're just introducing, we have not started. We're trying to get us on the same page. Then, when we get on the same page, then we will start traveling. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Bread has returned to Jerusalem.
Amen.
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 The famine is over.
Amen.
The famine is over.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.